Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SRF Limited Q2 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Gupta from Edelweiss Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Tanvi. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Edelweiss, I welcome all the participants logged in for the SRF Q2 FY18 conference call. From the management, we have Mr. Anoop Joshi and Mr. Rahul, and we have also Ms. Tanvi. Ms. Tanvi, can you please proceed for the conference call, and if you can introduce the management as well?
Ms. Nitika, you can proceed with the introduction.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on SRF's Quarter Two and Half-Year Financial Year 2018 Results Conference Call. We will begin this call with brief opening remarks from our President, CFO, and Company Secretary, Mr. Anoop Joshi, following which we will have the forum open for an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we begin this call, I would like to point out that some statements made in this call may be forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Joshi to make his opening remarks.
Good evening, everyone. I warmly welcome you all to SRF Limited's Q2 and H1 FY18 earnings call. Thank you all for taking the time to participate in our quarterly results call. I will initiate the call by briefly taking you through the key operational highlights for quarter under review, following which we are glad to have a detailed Q&A session. We have reported a steady top-line performance in a challenging macroeconomic environment, even as profitability was adversely impacted in most of our businesses. The consolidated gross sales for the quarter grew by 12% year-on-year to rupees 1,286 crore, while the PAT was lower at 103 crores. We expect the environment to remain under pressure in the near term and expect an improvement from Q4 onwards. Before I delve into the results performance, I'm glad to share with you that we have recently entered into a definitive agreement with a global major to acquire its HFC-125 assets. This acquisition is in line with our overall strategy and showcases our endeavor to continuously invest in products for the future. As a part of overall strategy, we also made certain CapEx announcements at the board meeting yesterday. The board approved setting up and the conversion of capacities of HFC-125, HFC-32, AHF, and HFC-134a at an estimated cost of rupees 356 crores. This cost includes the acquisition of HFC-125 assets and related technical know-how. We will now have the unique advantage of manufacturing all three major SOPs. Hello? That is HFC-134a, HFC-32, and HFC-125, which will be marketed under SRF's Fluoro brand. Further, each of the key raw materials for the said HFCs are produced in-house at our existing facilities. The capacity of AHF, which is a basic raw material for most of the HFCs, is being increased to cater to future needs. This will enhance efficiencies and provide a unique competitive advantage to us in the marketplace. These investments will help SRF become a fully backward-integrated player and nearly double our existing HFC capacities. It will cement our position as a leading domestic player and a promising global player in the refrigerant space. The project is likely to be completed by March 2018.
Thank you.
2019, I'm sorry. Coming to our segmental performance, the overall chemical and polymer segment witnessed subdued performance due to continued sluggishness in the agrochemicals segment. Despite disruption due to GST implementation, which adversely affected volumes in July, we delivered a stable performance in the fluorochemicals business during the quarter. We have seen normalization in volume since then and anticipate steady performance going forward. Demand for R134a gas from auto manufacturers has been healthy during the quarter, with SRF commanding more than 50% of the domestic market share. We continue to strengthen our leadership position and remained the only domestic producer of 134A. As we have been saying, we continue to focus on developing new blends using the latest technology, and SRF is leading this revolution in India. During the quarter, we launched R407A, a new blend which is a drop-in substitute for R22. R407A is suitable for use in commercial refrigeration and offers a low global warming potential. We also exported some quantities of it to the U.S. in the month of October. During the quarter, our sites at Bihari and Dahej received permission to use Responsible Care logo from the Indian Chemical Council. This underlines our emphasis on having world-class facilities with highest levels of health and safety measures. I'm also glad to share that our chairman, Mr. Arun Bharatram, was recently conferred the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Indian Chemical Council towards his contribution to the Indian chemical industry. As we have mentioned in our previous con calls, the specialty chemical segment continue to face headwinds, leading to subdued financial performance. With some positive indications from the agro majors, we believe there are green shoots in the sector. We expect some demand revival by Q4 of this financial year. We are confident of the long-term opportunities that this segment presents and have in place a superior R&D and world-class manufacturing capabilities to capture the potential revival. In the meantime, our emphasis remains on commercial conversion of new products developed to keep the funnel full. We will continue to focus on expanding presence in newer geographies of US, Europe, and Japan to enhance growth opportunities. Moving to the technical textile business, we continue to deliver stable performance in the NTCS segment, but competition led to some pressures on margins. Recently, the Finance Ministry imposed anti-dumping duty on import of truck and bus radial tires from China. We welcome this and see this as a positive move not only for us but for the industry at large, as dumping of truck and bus radials were adversely impacting volumes for all domestic players. Additionally, in October 2017, the customs duty on nylon fabrics was increased from 10% to 20%. While this may not have an immediate impact on the margins in the technical textile business, as most of our contracts are already negotiated till March 2018, some available capacities could provide an advantage. Further, impact on margins of the segment was felt as caprolactam prices remained volatile. Even in a tough environment, I would like to reiterate here that this segment continues to generate healthy free cash flows. The belting fabrics division delivered a robust performance in the quarter. We have a healthy visibility on the back of a strong order book position. Taking this into account, the board also approved a capacity expansion and modernization of operations at an approximate cost of 16.9 crores. In laminated fabrics, we remain price leadership with 100% advance payment terms. SRF Industrex Belting, a wholly owned step-down subsidiary in South Africa, is contemplating closure of its operations, as it was making losses with no likely revival in the future. The impact of the same is likely to be marginal in terms of the estimated cash outflow for the closure. More details on the likely impact of the same shall be shared as and when the actual closure takes place in our ensuing quarterly calls. Moving to our packaging film business, the BOPIC DTL line that commenced operations in February 2017 led to higher sales volumes, leading to higher segment revenues. The line did face some volume losses due to operational reasons, which have since been corrected and rectified. Overall, the segment delivered a higher revenue, but profitability was impacted on account of oversupply in both Indian and overseas markets, leading to pressure on margins. Despite the surplus, our domestic facilities operated at around capacity. We achieved the highest production at the resin plant in the quarter, which now caters to requirements of all the three moped lines in Indore. We continue to focus on optimum utilization of raw material, automation and manpower, and enhancing product mix towards innovative value-added products. In this regard, we commercialized both side-coated polyester frames during the quarter. Our DTA BOPP plant is progressing as per plan. With a strong focus on efficiencies and an increasing focus on specialized products, we will continue to outperform our domestic peers. DAP international operations in South Africa and Thailand ran well above the achieved capacity utilization. South Africa did face certain operational challenges which have since been resolved. During H1 FY18, you would have also noticed a build-up in current assets aggregating to around 350 crores. These are short-term mismatches and GST-related recoverables, which are likely to be corrected by the end of current fiscal year. In conclusion, I would like to say that over the years, we have built a robust multi-business entity driven by technology and innovation across business segments. We will continue to focus on enhancing cost efficiencies across all our business segments. The company will continue to judiciously invest in product development and innovation to stay ahead of the curve, strive for increasing overall performance and reward its shareholders from time to time. On that note, I conclude my remarks and would like to thank you all for joining us on this conference call. We would now be happy to discuss any questions, comments or suggestions that you may have.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you are requested to enter star and one to ask a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Sudarshan P. from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my questions. Sir, my question is around the comment that you had made in the press release, that is the green shoots that you are seeing, and you know, largely talking about a revival which can happen from the fourth quarter. I mean, if you can tell us what are the green shoots that we are seeing. And the second is, what is the extent of, traction that one can see? Because, you know, this is a non-linear business. I mean, we have capacities in place and growth need not be necessarily 10-15%. It can actually be a step up. So can we expect this kind of a situation in FY19?
When we say that the green shoots are visible, there are three aspects of the specialty chemical. One is that whatever we have been producing, the orders we had, the material we produced, people were just deferring their, taking up the inventories because overall they are unable to launch the new and the innovative products. So now, so far, they have all been saying that, next quarter. But this is for the first time that, some of those people have now started talking about a schedule for, lifting the material which we produced specially for them. So that is one indication which we believe. Of course, no firm schedule has so far been agreed, but at least people have started talking about when do they want to lift the material for the already produced. Second is, all this while that the business was not doing well, there were many qualifications, many new molecules that we developed. Even on those, people have started to come back and, discussion has started to take place as to when and how much quantity they would like to, going forward. So these are the, two major aspects. And the third is, if you see on the overall M&A piece, which internationally has happened between the agro majors and so on, some of them appears to have settled down and maybe are taking getting into a position where probably they will now start looking at newer molecules, newer innovative, agrochems to be sort of revived. And the fourth and foremost is, one is seeing some kind of a positivity returning in the biggest agro market of the world, that is Brazil, with a limited amount of currency and the demand getting back maybe in the system. So these are a couple of indications that we have, which makes us believe that, of course, there is always a lag between these happenings and culmination of the orders into revenues. That's why we are saying maybe the end of the fourth quarter or FY 18-19, we are going to see the full result of these positive trends.
Sure. Sir, second is specifically with respect to SRF, to some extent, do we have any molecules? Largely, we see that there is a spurt that happens as we move up the value chain. I mean, from the initial trials, it moves the second leg of the trials and probably then commercialization and also new client addition with respect to, the plant. And some, color with respect to the capacities which we are operating at, whether we have, enough capacities in place for the next 2 years, even if the growth comes back pretty strongly.
That's why if you watch or listen to the narratives and the disclosures that we've been making to the stock exchanges, we continuously keep on adding to the capacities, be it multi-purpose plant, be it some dedicated facilities and so on. And that is why we want to be ready with whenever that turnaround takes place. So there's an adequate amount of investment which has already happened, which presently obviously is not getting fully utilized. So those capacities will be available, and there are many capacities which are in pipeline for the dedicated and multi-purpose plant, which should come in handy by the time this turnaround happens.
Yeah, and with respect to the molecules and new clients, this is something that we are also seeing, the molecules moving up the chain and the new client addition also happening?
The molecules is something that we always keep working on. That's what I said, that all this while there were many qualifications and many molecules that we developed, and we are ready with that. As soon as the turnaround happens, we can produce the commercial quantities, and obviously it will add to the revenues.
Sir, my final...
The newer geographies also work is now with an increased focus and vigor, always when this market was a little weak. We have been working on other geographies as well as other molecules, including some pharma. And a couple of molecules we have really cracked during this last quarter and the earlier to that.
Specifically to this packaging space, how do we see, because you did mention that we are in a environment where there is some kind of an excess supply. If I'm looking at probably the next couple of quarters and probably FY19, do we see that, probably the growth continuing at this pace and the margins continuing, or what kind of color can one expect on this business, sir?
The packaging film business, as you are all aware, that capacities come in bunches. So last year, we saw as many as 4 lines having come up on the market side. And obviously, there was a supply overhang, and which we also felt in the margins in this quarter as well as the quarter before that. But going forward, since it's a growth business, every year India keeps on going at 10-12% and the world at about 4-6%. So the demand, when the time it balances, it's only a couple of quarters before that the demand will probably rise, and we'll be able to take advantage of the additional capacity that we have put up. But yeah, presently in this quarter as well as in the earlier quarter, because of the supply overhang, there are pressures on margin.
Thanks a lot, sir. I'm joining back to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Moria from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. First question is, sir, in terms of this 350 crores capex which we had planned for our gas, I believe 67 crore is for the fluorone, that the brand which we had bought, R125. So remaining, if I exclude this, the remaining capex, how it will be spent in the capacities and how much it will go to the utility? And I believe this whole capex is going to come in the Dahej, right?
Yes. A little bit at Bhiwadi, where we are reconverting our R32 facility back into 134A.
Okay.
So some small amount will get spent in Bhiwadi, but substantial amount is going to get spent in Dahej. See, there are a couple of components of this entire 356 crore, and the biggest one is the 10 million the assets as well as the, you know, IPR that we have and the technology that we have purchased from a major from UK, which is about 67 crores or that you mentioned. But, you know, that plant needs to be transported here and has to be, you know, erected. So there is a substantial, another about 60, 70 crores rupees is likely to get spent on the erection. So that is about 125 crores for this R125. In addition to that, what we are going to do is we are going to set up a new facility for R32 in our Dahej plant.
Okay.
It's capacity of about 7 to 8,000 you know, metric tons or so.
Okay.
And apart from that, we are going to also set up AHF facility because, you know, these increased capacities will require the raw material, which is the AHF.
Correct.
Therefore, we need also increase our capacity there. And as I said, the little bit on reconversion of our existing R32 to 134A. So all of that will take about just 356 crores of rupees. And we'll end up having our HFC capacities doubling from our existing present capacity.
So, sir, what I understood here is that, so 125 will take your 125 crores, right? Approximately.
Yes.
So what you will left with then is around, around your 225 crores. So how much will be going for Bhiwadi? So conversion of R32 to R134?
That's not material amount. I said that just now.
Okay. So meaning R32 will be 7,000 metric ton additional, and then others would be what? Others would be 407 and 410?
No, that's a blending. You have to require a capacity for that. My capacity is for the different kind of gases that you produce. So R134A, R32 and R125.
Okay.
These are the three gases which are blended. So you don't need an additional capacity for blending as such.
So,
maybe some kind of a refilling and filling.
So R25 capacity will be how much, sir, in Bhiwadi? I mean, in Dahej?
R125, as I said, you know, we have acquired the old machine from UK, that's the major. So whatever may be the boilerplate capacity, we will get to know as we install it on ground, and then we'll have a better sense of how much that capacity is going to be. But in nutshell, as I said, the HFC capacity, our existing capacity, will get doubled.
Okay.
And all components. Yeah.
Got that, sir. And sir, one last, if I can, what would be the in terms of the total specialty total chemical business? Last quarter, I believe your R gas was something around 50 to 55%. So, what would be the contribution this quarter? Ballpark.
We don't share for us. This is one segment. It's a foregone conclusion that obviously the specialty chemical continues to face the headwinds, so therefore the delivery of the specialty chemicals continues to remain more or less where it was in the last quarter, if at all. And the other business, which is the refrigerant gas business, has done relatively better.
Okay, so meaning, that is the reason why I'm asking you, sir. I believe the refrigeration business contribution would have further gone up because the margins had come down in your specialty chemical business.
You can always work it out, Amar, on the basis of the margins available in past.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Agarwal from India Ratings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon. Just wanted to clarify that the CAPEX towards new capacity for this 125 is around 125 to 130 crores, right?
Yes.
And the rest out of the proposed 350 crore, that means around 225 crore is primarily towards R32 new capacity as well as AHF additional capacity.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Okay. And sir, in terms of, I just wanted to have some clarification in terms of debt numbers. So sir, from the balance sheet, you can see that the debt numbers have increased slightly. I mean, there is a significant increase in the debt overall. The short-term debt has increased by around 400 crores, 420 crores, and the long-term debt has increased by around something around 400 crores. So can we attribute this, can we have some kind of a breakup as to where or which capex this has been used for?
See, this is a temporary phenomenon because, you know, we keep on incurring monies on capex, and obviously the operating performance hasn't been all that great in the last two quarters. So there is a gap between what you spend and what you earn. So it's a temporary phenomenon. Going forward, I think by the year end, there may be a slight little increase in the overall debt profile, but nothing to be worried about or nothing substantial.
Okay. Because we can see that almost 600 crore increase is there in terms of your capital work in progress as well as the PPE, property, plant, the net assets. So is it to be concluded that the debt is primarily funding the capex?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, you're right.
Okay. Okay, sir. And, sir, and... in terms of, sir, I just wanted to confirm again the TTB segment, the margins are impacted because of the caprolactam prices fluctuation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, sir.
As a $2,100 in June, which fell down to $1,300 in September, and which was in the current year about $1,600 and $1,300 in the same quarter last year. So that it is that volatile from 2100 to 1300 to 1600, and obviously depending upon, you know, which way the obviously if we have already contracted with our customers considering a higher caprolactam prices, then it we gain, and if we have already contracted with them at a lower caprolactam prices, we lose. So it's a part, you know, over a period of time. This if we take year as a unit, probably that volatility is much less, but on a quarter to quarter basis, this can either add 10 crores of rupees or can reduce, can give us a hit of 10 crores of rupees in our overall performance.
Okay, sir. And, sir, regarding the receivables position, sir, I can see that from FY17, as on date, our receivable position has increased by almost 200 crores.
So these are some of the quarter-end sales that we have made to some of our our exports and so on, and that is why you see this is a little on the higher side. This is only a, you know, normal cycle. This will get regularized by the year end.
So is there any...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. So if you can come back in the queue, we'll have to restrict the questions to two per participants.
Sure. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Participants, you are requested to restrict your questions to two per participants. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Shah from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to get some update on Dimel, what's exactly happening there. That's question number one. And the second question was on R22. Are we still exporting it outside India, or it's being phased out, and are we using R22 as a feedstock for our specialty chemical business?
Dimel is now, we had shared even in the last call that we have filed our DMF, and now there's a process by which all the customers will carry out their own check and investigation into the quality and so on, and they need to upgrade their own DMF, and you know, that will take a little while then to really get our material from our facility approved and updated in the master files, and then only they will start taking it up. As of now, that process has not yet started. The progress of, you know, getting the DMS amended, etc., has begun. But for them to pick up the material, it is still some time to go.
So it's been about 1.5 years since we got into this transaction, and we haven't seen it kind of ramp up. So is it running behind your internal schedule?
No, not at all. 1.5 years is 2014 December we acquired this plant, and
yeah,
Thereafter, you know, it's to come all the way from US to here, the machineries, and that had to be raised, and with that technology we had to put up our plant here, and that had to take its own time, no? So we are not behind schedule at all. We are very much on schedule. That's why we have a contract to source the material from DuPont until 2019.
Okay. Got it. Okay. And on
R22, yes, we definitely continue to export. In fact, the export prices have been a little better because of the China issues on the environment and so on. So it has only been good. It's only been better during the quarter.
And how much has been pharma share versus agrochemical share in our specialty chemical business?
It's broadly, I would say, 20-80 it continues to be at that level.
And we've seen some of your competition announcing plans for, you know, advanced refrigerants like R1234YF. Any thoughts on, you know, some of these advanced refrigerants over the longer term or the medium term? Any plans on that?
We have already set up our pilot facility.
Right.
You know that that whatever is the initial testing of the quality, yield, etc. is going on. As of now, we don't believe that there is adequate market for anybody to set up a commercial level, you know, scale plant. But whenever it makes sense on the market side, we will be ready with our own technology to produce and then market on our own brand and technology.
And final question is on utilization rate. What would be that for a specialty chemical gross block that we have at this point in time?
It's not been all that great, but in any case, see, utilization more, we have number of plants which are in the nature of multi-purpose and more in the nature of pilots and so on, which has obviously taken a lot of capex and the infrastructure and so on, and also the R&D piece. Therefore, exactly to say the utilization is actually difficult, but definitely it has come down because the demand is not coming through. But
would it be about 50%? I'm just trying to understand at the same gross block, how much revenues can you make? Is what my understanding, I mean, that's what I'm trying to understand.
No, that's what I was about to explain. For the specialty chemical, rather than the asset turn or the volumes, what more important is the bottom line, because it's a mine business and they aren't driven. So even a small quantity and a small revenue, the return can be quite substantial. So our focus mainly remains on the bottom line rather than on the top line. Therefore, we don't even internally keep a watch on how much is the capacity utilization or how much is the asset turn. More important is what is the profitability that it is delivered.
Sure. I'll come back and queue for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Shah from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. My first question is on the technical textiles business. Your standalone revenues have decreased by around 75 crores. But your EBIT margin has increased sequentially. So I understand there is some bit of the netting off of GST, but what is the entire impact due to? Any other reason for this?
Does it have to do with the excise?
Yes.
Yeah. See, if you see the last quarter, the same quarter last year, we were in an excise regime where the revenue was including the excise. And now, post GST, there is no component called excise in the revenue. Therefore, if you were to adjust that for excise, you will find that sequentially it has only increased.
Right. But on a sequential basis, your revenue has fallen by close to around 70 crores. And I believe you won't have excise of around 70 crores in the technical textiles business entirely. So any other reason?
That has to do with the caprolactam pricing. If the caprolactam prices are higher, obviously your revenues will be higher because that becomes a very important component. And I just now answered to someone else to say that the volatility between the caprolactam price is as high as $1,350 a ton to $2,100 a ton. So if there is a change in the basic raw material prices, obviously the revenue will also accordingly get adjusted.
Okay.
But there's no volume decrease to answer your question.
Okay, that's it. And sir, second question is, in this quarter, your effective tax rate is significantly lower than what you've been reporting earlier. So any particular reason for that? While in the last quarter's call, you had said that you expect the effective tax rate to increase by around 500 to 600 basis points for the full year. So any reason for the lower tax rate?
That's only on account of a one-time adjustment of some tax credit relating to the earlier period that we have claimed and we have, you know, accounted for in this quarter. But principally, this will, as I said, the effective tax rate is only going to go up. But in this quarter, if you see about 16 crores.
Yeah.
So I think there is some amount of tax write-back or relating to the earlier years, which we have done during this, which is leading to a substantial fall in the effective tax.
So this is only a one time which we have recognized?
On that side. If you see the gross tax rate, that is still higher compared to the same quarter last year. It's about 28% compared to about 18% same quarter last year.
Okay.
Net is about 14%.
Okay, right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhesh Gupta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for taking my questions. My question pertains to the recovery that you were talking about. So I did not hear you out properly. So you said that you were starting to see, you started to see indications that Brazil is also turning around.
Sorry?
No, my question is that you mentioned briefly that you said that Brazil has started to turn around. Could you just elaborate what is?
Yes, there are some visible green shoots in Brazil, which happens to be the highest and the biggest agro market, or the second largest agro market. And you know, based on the discussions and the people and during this entire value chain, we get to hear that some turnaround and some positivity is seen in Brazil as a market.
Okay. And this is more because that the product inventory itself has bottomed out, or is it more because that the real demand or the end demand itself has picked up? Because in terms of commodity prices, the numbers, I mean, the commodity prices continue to remain weak. So possibly, I mean, what could be the driving factor there is?
Maybe because of the inventory depletion that might have taken place all this while.
Okay. And sir, on the R134A, you mentioned something. So basically, you're going to expand your 134A capacity as well as part of this bigger capex that you're doing?
Yes, we are going to expand.
So what would be the final capacity after that? I mean, like from 12,500, where do you go from here?
See, Abhi, there are two aspects. You know, one, we are reconverting our R32 capacity back to 134A in our Bhiwadi, and we are going to set up another capacity or extend our capacity in Dahej. So we bottleneck some of that existing 134A capacity. So we will get to know the exact numbers. It will be a little premature. But as I said in response to some other question, that broadly our HFC capacity is going to get doubled by 2019 March when all these things are over.
Got it. And second question is that if I look at your gross block capital employed this quarter, it's somewhere close to 2,100 crores in chemicals, and you possibly did around 1,500 crores of sales last year. I understand you told that the profitability is what matters, but say if you're at a 17% margin this quarter, and if your asset turn is hardly 0.4, I mean, from a capital employed point of view, do you think that this business itself can probably become 2x, 3x in profitability in next few years? Because you've been very aggressively investing, so pretty much I think with all the capex that you announced so far, by the time it ends, you would have doubled your capital employed in the business, I think from 16 to 18 or 19. And from 16, your EBIT has clearly declined in last 2 years. So just to try to get a sense on the profitability part of it.
A good amount of capex on specialty chemical is a capability building. If you look at it, be it your R&D, be it your, you know, multi-purpose plant, be it your CDMP facilities and so on and so forth. So to directly link the revenue, yes, eventually they will get linked to the revenue, but considering the status of the overall market and the demand scenario at this point of time, the numbers are what you have observed. They seem to be absolutely right. But going forward, we see when the demand, the turnaround happens, this is going to greatly get changed over a period of time.
So that's precisely my question, that when the turnaround happens, would you see a non-linearity in your growth, or would it still be a linear growth like a 25% or a 20% or a 25% sort of growth? That's exactly
what I'm talking about. How the next financial year really, you know, gives the numbers, it is premature for me to say, but yeah, I mean, it should not be linear, at least in the initial couple of years when the revival comes back and the business comes back on track. So initially it may be non-linear. Over a period of time it will come back to the business as usual.
I'm talking more about two, three years is what I was mentioning. That's all of my questions, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranjit Chirumala from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one clarification of the ref gas expansion which we have announced and got the board approval. That is not for the R134A bottlenecking. That would be separate.
Sorry?
The ref gas.
Hello? Yes?
Yeah. Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. I was just needing one clarification on the capacity expansion or the capex which you have announced yesterday on the refrigerant gases.
Yes.
That is not including the R134A debottlenecking. So there would be a separate capex.
It includes the debottlenecking also, but that is not a, you know, very significant amount out of the total amount. So this is a debottlenecking of the existing capacity at 134A the age, and this is also a conversion of R32 facility in Bhiwadi. So that is the piece which is related to 134A, but since it is a debottlenecking and a conversion of existing facility, the overall amount may not be very significant. The bigger amount, as I said, of R125, the AHF, the 32, the new facility that we are setting up at the edge.
And these all things put together would be doubling of capacity?
Yes.
Okay, so thanks for the clarification. And the second thing that we have been doing, at least announcing capex, and as I can see, the couple of them were expected by the end of this calendar year. So to be specific, it was the chloromethane and the multipurpose plant. So can you give a status update on these two capex?
They are absolutely on track, and by the year end, hopefully we should be able to, you know, get some, you know, the turnout out of those.
And
they're absolute contract, both CMS as well as multipurpose.
And multipurpose plant, we have firm orders in place, so there won't be any deferrals.
Multipurpose plant is actually not a dedicated plant, so to say. It's more, as I said, you know, capability built up. But yes, surely, based on, you know, as I said, some of the qualification that we have done and some of the molecules that we are working on, those will get, you know, produced out of that multipurpose plant.
And then lastly, on the chemical business side, if you see sequentially, the even the revenues might not be comparable or flat, largely flat, but we have seen a deterioration in the EBIT in the absolute terms. So is this specifically related to the mix, or is there any one-off into this?
Largely because of fixed expenses, they continue to be so, and obviously, you know, if the revenues are lower, and we have capitalized quite a few, new capital expenditure, which has been incurred and capitalized, all of them, the depreciation arising out of that, has its impact on EBIT.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shaleen Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, can you please talk a little bit about this R125, market size opportunity, if you can give something about pricing, is it going to be export or more of domestic, you know, a little bit on that?
The R125 was the only component that we were not manufacturing so far. It goes into blend. We are not going to sell it. We are going to use it all in-house for the, you know, blend of 407 and 410A. So these are the two blends which are, significant. The demand is going to rise post the phase out of R22, which is going to happen over a period of time, which will be substituted either by R32 or by these blends. And these blends require R125, which so far we were sourcing either locally or importing from China. And in China, because of whatever issues have been there in the past, the prices were increasing. So in any case, we thought that we have all the technology and all the wherewithal to produce. And this is the future, because you need to have your own component of R125 also. So this will go to essentially replace the demand of R22 whenever it gets phased out by 2020. There is a phase out of as much as 25% of the R22 demand. So obviously this will have to be filled up by the blends and R32. So we are making ourselves ready with the additional capacity to meet the demand.
Right. So the immediate impact of this will not be visible. So it will be a gradual impact, and more so in a profitability, because it will be a alternate for the sourcing.
It will be in margin rather than on the revenue.
Got you, sir. Got you. Just one more thing I need to understand from you. Basically, if I look at your segment a bit, and if I look at your console a bit, there is a difference of around 25 crores. If I add up segment a bit and that, so just want to understand this 25 crore, what does it pertain to?
These are the, you know, corporate office expenditure, no? Which are unallocable to the specific segment as such. These are the common expenditure for the corporate office and the head office or the common functions.
Right. Actually, it used to be at a lower, sir, actually. So,
Not really. I mean, it hasn't grown much.
Okay. Okay.
And you have some investment income, etc., you know, depending upon your cash availability and, you know, maybe some temporary pluses and minuses. Maybe you dispose of some property, maybe you sell some investment, etc. So that can be a little variance, aberration. Otherwise, it is largely same or similar.
Shaleen, I can explain it to you offline.
Sure. Thanks, Rahul. Thanks. All right, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity, sir. Just a clarification. See, this Vivadi plant, you are converting into 125 refrigerant gas. So,
Not 125, 134A.
Okay. So, already that was converted into 32, sir, last year, I believe.
Sir, absolutely. It was the first 134A plant, which we converted into R32. Now that is converted back into 134A.
Okay. Any specific?
That is the beauty that we keep talking many times, you know, that what happens for the multiple projects and the products, that we have the ability largely to you know, tweak the plant depending upon which kind of a product you want to make.
Okay. So the specific reason behind this, any whether the demand for 34 is more than, or the demand what you were anticipating for R32, that is not that great, so that is why you converted into R34A. Any specific reason?
No. R32, we are putting up a brand new capacity in Dahej now, much larger than what we had in Bhiwadi, to meet the additional demand and the future demand. There were two options. I could have either set up 134A additional capacity in Dahej, or I could have, you know, tweaked this existing capacity of 32 into 134. I mean, commercially and on the basis of the cost benefit analysis, this was found to be more, you know, beneficial.
Okay, possibly just to have two sites for one at R34A, it is better to convert the Vivadi plant to R134A. So that is why you have gone for that. Is that correct?
134A will still be at two sites, no? Some 134A here in Bhiwadi and 134A in Dahej.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, two sites, you are right.
Okay. So,
but I mean, instead of having two sites, it was an overall cost of, you know, constructing or creating that additional capacity. This was found to be more, you know, beneficial.
Oh, thank you, sir. And one more thing. On the price implication at US after the anti-dumping duty on Chinese guys. So anything, by now you must be seeing some implication on the prices. So can you give some clarity about it? What was the kind of implication and how are you getting benefited out of that? And also if you can share something more on the kind of a quantum increase in your R134A export to US market.
See, we have had a substantial increase in exports to US of 134K, and yes, we did have some pricing gains because of the anti-dumping duty, but see, going forward, this may not be completely sustainable because now the people from Japan and Europe, they have now come in as a supplier to US. So obviously, you know, you don't have the free play of increasing the price to that extent. To which one would have anticipated during the anti-dumping duty. Obviously, the market is so dynamic, wherever they find an opportunity, the other players will come in. So China may have started supplying to some of the other geographies where there is no anti-dumping duty, and the other players have now come in the U.S. market. So definitely, there is about 25 to 30% increase in the prices and therefore the margin to U.S., but it is not as high as we had anticipated earlier on, considering the 150%
you know, duty that was imposed. Okay. But anything on the quantum that you are currently doing for the US market, sir?
So we specifically that quantum I actually don't have because there are various things we sell to many retailers, we sell to many distributors and so on. But there's been a substantial increase in our export.
Okay. Okay. Just one last question, if I may. On the taxes, the tax incidence, it was indicated that around 30% for the current financial year, at the starting of the year. But what we are observing from the first two quarters, it is much lower. So how should we take it, or how should we model in our financial scene? So can you just give some sense?
See, there is a one-time adjustment on account of taxation during this quarter. If you look at the tax credit relating to earlier years and the quarters, which has actually, you know, made this aberration. Otherwise, principally, our tax effective tax rate is going to be around 30% by the time we close the year. If you were to adjust for that, you know, one-time adjustment that we have done during this quarter.
Okay. So
this is higher than about 24% or that we had for the last year.
Okay. So in the first quarter it was 20, second quarter 14, third, fourth possibly could be significant.
Overall, if you, by the time you close the year and you account for the one-time adjustment, you are likely to get about 29 to 30% as an effective factor.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. One question on the CAPEX side. Are we revising our CAPEX guidance from 900 to 1000 crore for this year, considering that we have announced 356 crore of CAPEX in refrigerant gas? And we were speaking about having around 600 crore of this in specialty chemical. Does that guidance still continue?
We typically will never share that how much is going in a specialty chemical, how much is going in a refrigerant chemical. When we talk about chemicals, we include both these segments of substances.
Okay.
And therefore, whatever we indicated was relating to the entire chemicals business, chemicals and polymer business as we call.
Right.
There is no change to the guidance. It remains around 1,000 to 1,100 crores of capex during the year. And the 356 crore is very much a part of this. Obviously, the exact numbers you won't have estimated that, at that point of time. But this is very much a part and parcel of the about 1,100 crores of capex.
Okay, that was useful. Just continuing on the capex side, do we see this capex coming down meaningfully next year, considering that we have built enough capacity on specialty side? And with this additional capex which we are incurring on the refrigerant gas, we will be having enough headroom in terms of growth for next 2 years?
Yeah, declaration of capex, you can expect that it may not be as high, but the spending of the amount, because large number of capex that we have announced in this year are going to get spent in the next year.
Right.
So, and whatever was announced in the last year is getting spent in this year. So in terms of cash flow, the next year may also look like more or less similar, give or take 100, 200 crores here and there. But otherwise, in terms of the overall, the announcement of the capex, if you were to talk about that, it may not be as high in the second year unless there are some surprises that we get to know as we go along.
Okay. So that means even for next year, we can build around 800 crore kind of a capex.
That cash outgo may not be as much because, as I said, the capexes which we have announced recently are going to get spent partly in this year and partly in the next year.
Okay.
But this may be more like 600, 700 crores.
600, 700 crores. Okay, that is useful. Secondly, on the agrochemical market side, is this green shoot we are seeing is more from the replacement of the existing inventory, or there is underlying demand uptick also? How is the market looking like?
See, we look at these majors with whom we work, and you know they have been so far deferring their lifting of the material, whatever schedule that they gave, because they were unable to launch the new product, they were unable to sell because there was an inventory backlog in the entire channel. Now they have started talking to us and, you know, at least looking to plan as to when they are going to lift the material, which they were supposed to lift sometime earlier. So that is, you know, one very concrete conversation on which we are basing our estimate that there are some green shoots. And apart from that, you know, there are also discussions happening around some of the new molecules that we qualified for all this while when the market was weak.
Okay.
These are the two indications we believe are you know, sort of, and some amount of maybe a balance which is coming in the the global M&A, some of them may have got settled down and therefore they started talking.
Correct. Just one last question on the specialty chemical side. Are we seeing any meaningful uptick on the pharma now? Because we said that we have cracked few of the pharma chemical, that's quite a good news. So are we in discussion, are we in talk with the customer? Because we have also announced a CGMP plant on the pharma side. That should additionally help us to bring down some revenue growth in specialty side, right?
That's right. See, we are in touch with and talking to and developed certain molecules in the pharma side as well. And as you rightly said, we are waiting for our CGMP facility to be operational, which is more like by the end of the third quarter or so. And then only the conversion of some of the molecules will occur because that necessarily or maybe relatively require the CGMP facility to be used rather than our existing facility. So we'll see the culmination of what all discussions have happened on the pharma side maybe in the fourth quarter a little bit and the FY19. But yes, surely there will be some addition of the pharma clients.
That should be. And do we expect this mix to change or you expect both agro and pharma to grow in line?
Sorry?
The mix 80-20 mix which you are talking in specialty chemical, do you see this mix changing any meaningfully probably in next year or so?
Next year or so, it may not meaningfully change, but it's a slow process. See, pharma is something very, very complex and you need to really get in a big way and the CGMP facility to be completely operational. It will take some time, but over a period of time, we have a strategy to increase the pharma in the overall by a couple of percentages or maybe 4-5% in the next 2 to 3 years or so.
Yeah, I guess it was quite useful and best of luck for the next quarter. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from IFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Sorry, I joined the call a bit late, so please pardon me if you've already talked about this. But just on the fluoro-specialty, chemical business, FY17, we had seen a bit of a decline in revenues from that segment from about 743 crores in FY16 to about 606 in FY17. We've so far been talking of about, probably a flattish kind of trajectory in FY18. Now with half the year gone by and the visibility that you have into, the second half, do you think it's the flattishness is achievable or there could be a bit of a decline this year as well?
We believe there may be still, taking the overall situation into account, there may be still the revenue may be marginally lower compared to the financial year 16-17 and 17-18. But FY19 onwards, we see this to be really coming back to the shape and giving us a meaningful growth.
Right, and just in order to give us some sense of how sharp the trajectory can be in FY19, based on whatever indications you have, if these new molecules get launched, could there be a substantial recovery, or do you expect that it will be more of a gradual kind of bounce?
See, that will be just a pure guesswork, and I really don't, I wouldn't like to go down that path.
Okay.
Because the pace, we can only say the direction. The pace will depend as, things move. It's very, very difficult for me to predict what 18-19 will exactly look like. Maybe we'll have a better sense after, the fourth quarter closure, or maybe at the year-end call that we do, in year-end at FY18, we may have a little better sense.
Understand, sir. And lastly, just on the margins, so we are now at 13.2% in the chemical segment. Looking ahead into 2H, will it broadly be, somewhere around this level and then expecting a significant bounce back next year in FY19? Is that the right way to think about it?
This year, I can't say, how much it will really increase, but next year, we see some meaningful improvement. I won't be able to put a substantial or a very high or, things like that. Those adjectives I won't be able to use. We can only expect, we expect that this will be definitely higher than what we have seen in FY17-18.
And just in your assessment, one final question on this, FY15 15 and FY16, we did extremely well in chemicals and polymers in terms of margins. We had 24-25% margins. So, realistically, what would be your time frame? I mean, will it take 2 years, 3 years, do you think, for us to get there? Or how would you think about that?
And again, you're asking the same question in a different way. I really can't, until, you know, you really get down to that moving train, whenever that movement happens, it will be a little premature for me to say.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Due to time constraint, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohan Gupta from Edelweiss for closing comments.
Thanks, Tanvi. Thanks a lot, Mr. Anup, sir, and Rahul, sir, and also thanks, Nitika, for giving us the opportunity to host this conference call. On behalf of Edelweiss, I also thank all the participants who are logged in for the conference call of SRF. Sir, would you like to make any comment before we close the call?
Yeah, I hope you have been able to answer all your questions. If you do have any further questions, we would be happy to be of assistance. We hope to have valuable support on a continued basis as we move ahead. On behalf of the management of SRF, I once again thank you all for taking time to join on this call.
Thanks a lot, sir. Special thanks to the management also, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Advice Securities, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.